And we've come to this precious chapter. As I mentioned earlier, many say this is the practical now that is going to happen in our lives. And I pray tonight you'll never see it as practical ever again. Let me tell you something. When you have the life of Christ Jesus in you, and when we have what we have in the Word of God, and especially what the Lord has poured out for us in these last 11 chapters, why wouldn't we live the fullness of Christ in us, the hope of glory? Amen? That's what it is. That's what we should live. And by the grace of God, it's there. And that's not a practical life. That's a reigning life. That's a ruling and reigning life. And I thank God that that is what this is about that we will get into this evening. So let's go ahead and read verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. See, the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, so many, this phrase, present yourselves, your bodies holy and acceptable, they believe that somehow that's going to be in your strength and in your might, and you're going to make this happen. Well, did you miss the intro? By the mercies of God? See, this is God, again, giving you the exact extreme opposite of what you deserved. We deserve death, but thanks be to God because of His love to us. He didn't just give us life, He gave us life more abundantly because He gave us the very life of Jesus Christ to come and to live in you. The mercies of God that abound to us because of the life of the Son of God that lives in you, that He loves and He adores and He wants to fellowship with more than anything. I'm just a natural dad, and all I want to see are my kids every single day. I'd love them to come to dinner every night. I tell them I want to have sleepovers, and I'm just a natural daddy. But I love them. I want them by me. I want them with me. And especially now that they're of age to come into full fellowship and talk with their dad, discuss the things that I've always wanted to talk to them about. Yea, the deep things of God. That's it. But then all of the other manifold blessings of what the Lord brings. But see, brothers and sisters, this is the God who is rich in mercy. And He made this transformation in us. How? By the blood of His precious Son. And by that blood, we are seated together with Him in the heavenlies, in Christ, right now. Amen? So we're seated there. And by this precious blood, by the blood, that's what presents ourselves to God. Okay? Present ourselves. Let's really understand what that means. That means to stand beside the Father. That's what the blood of Jesus did for you. It caused you to come to stand beside your Father. Amen. Amen. Now, here we go. Aren't all God's children holy? You think? Let's go back and read Romans chapter 11. This is why, in so many different ways, I am thankful that we've been doing a chapter at a time. I see what God is doing. You see a tree, you see the forest. I was thinking of that precious sermon, Bible study that Joe gave the other night. My brother Joe, my dearly beloved brother Joe. Psalm 116 there. And in that one verse, you got many trees, but then you also got the whole forest. You got the whole plan of God. Amen. How amazing is the truth, you know? And see, we're having the same thing here as this goes back and forth. But let's not forget in Romans 11, verse 16, it said, "For if the first fruit be holy, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." So are you holy? You know it, you're holy. Praise be to God. And this is what the Bible assures us, brothers and sisters. We must remember this and be constantly in remembrance of these things, lest at any time we should let them slip. See, this is the rightfully divided truth. This is how we can stand and allow that sword, praise God, to stand in defense of the gospel for your life. That we are not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That we don't get confused when people that are confused in the Word of God, or you're even right in the presence of the enemy himself, that can come at you with the Word of God twisted, to use it to confuse, but yet by the grace of God, you can know this Word. And by the Spirit, praise God, He can give you utterance, and He can bring everything and all these things to your remembrance. And He gives you that knowledge. And He knows how to give in your life every man an answer who inquires of the hope that lies within you. Amen. Get really full of the Holy Ghost and there'll be a lot of hope. You'll have a lot of people come up and talk to you. You have a lot of people run away from you too. That's okay. But see, we are accepted in the Beloved, aren't we? I'm not trying to get accepted. I am accepted. I'm favored. This is my Father. Abba, Father. Amen. Oh, praise God for our precious Father, our Dad, in the most reverent way to call Him this. But we have put on the new man. Always know that. See, we have put on the new man. That's done because of the blood of Jesus. So this isn't something that we do. This is something that is done. This is something that we are. This is something that's finished. By faith, we stand beside our Father. And by the grace of God, that is our reasonable service. And let me tell you what reasonable service means. It means logical worship. Exactly that. Logical worship. Isn't that beautiful? And you know what logical worship is? Praising Him for the grace of what He has wrought in us by the blood. Amen. Vessels to the praise and the glory of His grace. A lot of people say, well, God's not. Yeah, He's logical in His word. You know He is. It's exact. It's precise. It's one thing, and it's His Son. Amen. And it's His Son in His fullness in us. And that's our worship, and that's our praise, and that's our thanksgiving to God. And that's that all-powerful force of grace. Oh, I'm excited about that. That the violent take heaven by force. The force of grace. Grace makes you forceful into the Word of God. You receive that grace, and you go into the Word of God, and you take. Thinking of how many times Brother Hill would be here. You take from Him. You go in and you take and you continue to take because He's given everything and you can never take more than He can give. But continue to take from Him. And that's the ability and capacity to take is how much grace and the force of grace will you allow to be unleashed in your life. Praise be to God. So we are now the sons of God. And that sets forth, praise God, everything, because by grace, who we are in Christ is the standard for understanding, especially Romans chapter 12, but especially the entire Word of God. It's grace. Amen? And it's who we are in Christ by the blood of the Lamb, that incredible mercy and grace. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How precious it is, just even on the surface. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. And it tells you exactly how the Lord will work that in your life, by the renewing of your mind. It's not by you trying to get things out. It's by the Lord bringing the things in. Amen. Amen? Right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You continue to hear the Word of God and avail your ear to hear the Word of God. I'll tell you what, it'll flush it. It'll be just like that precious wineskin. That's pour that wine in it, and all of that sediment stuff, all the dregs, will just continue to come off out of there. Nothing else can get it out but more wine putting in. That's exactly how that process worked. His life in us is holy and it's acceptable. And that knowledge of that passion and force of grace. And what is that? It's the plan and the provision and the purpose and the power of Christ working in us. That's the renewing of our minds. See, knowing this doctrine, knowing this gospel, knowing Paul's gospel, and continuing as we've been rejoicing, our inheritance, our glorious inheritance. And as was encouraged by Joshua, you get out there and you describe it. I'm not going to give you anything you don't know. You got to go describe it. Come tell me about it. Tell me what you see. Write it down. And I'll tell you what, you go out there, you never even come back. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that wonderful? See, that's the Shulamite. She got so far out there, she was just gone. Gone. And that's exactly what the Lord is encouraging in our hearts here, brothers and sisters. Continue to launch out. But see, that's the renewing of our minds. And that renewing means a complete change. You continue to go after the deep things of God. And what the Lord has for you, and the knowledge of that plan and provision and the purpose of God in your life, and the power of God, the Holy Ghost that will perform it. What happens is man's reality goes, and everything that sits in is God's divine promise and unlimited possibilities. You begin to live the Word of God. You begin to understand that they weren't just stories. That word is alive, isn't it, Sam? Praise God, it is. And it works powerfully, as brother prayed, in them that believe. Effectually, like dynamite. It's real. And I love it. And we walk in it. And our life is that. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. You see, he reminds you that it's because I love you. Just like he told Israel, I didn't choose you because you're a mighty in people. Even fun to hang around. But I can't help myself. And as the Lord said, he cannot deny himself. Can't deny it. He has to have it. He set it up that way. That's the plan, the purpose, and the power of God. It's just all for us. And if, again, that's for us, who could be against us? That's that power of grace. And brothers and sisters, that is what it is. That faith, that confidence in what he finished on the cross and the power of the resurrection now that lives in us, that transforms us. And it transforms us into this wonderful will of God. Isn't that beautiful? See, we enter into this as we begin to have faith in God's word, and we prove, we establish, we give him thanks. We walk in gratitude. The evidence of it. We're walking evidence. Praise the Lord. Of good. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Good's a beautiful thing. Matter of fact, here, let's see. Good means honorable. I love that. That's a sweet thing. But we can move from honorable with more grace through faith. And we can get into acceptable. So not only was it honorable, then it becomes pleasing. So that ramps up. Honorable to pleasing. There's a love working there. Listen to those words. Honorable is a nice thing. That was very honorable. That was very pleasing. Now wait a second. Then we can get to what? With all of Christ, that fullness of that grace in us, the confidence of what Christ wants for us, the perfect will of God. The very perfect will. Complete plan. Like him, glory. If we will believe fully, praise God, in that life that can grow up fully mature into the very perfect will of God. I believe the word of God in that. I believe the word of God by his grace when he says that we can know the love of Christ in every dimension. I mean, that's incredible to think that God says, know that. This is God who so loved that he gave Jesus to us, his only begotten son. The things that he experienced, went through, became sin for us who knew no sin. But yet the Lord says we can know that love. And we can know it in the depths and in that intimacy. The very intimacy, praise God, that was shared and is shared between the Father and the Son. Man, I'll tell you what. Most everything else, I don't know a thing about. But I believe God to know this love. I believe God to know this care, this tenderness, this power. This unconditional, unmerited, absolute favor that I walk in that confidence to say, Lord, I believe the word of God. I believe everything about this precious word. Not that it just happened, but by the grace of God, it's happening in me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me. See, Paul makes it known. There isn't anything of me. I can't do a thing. Everything that I could be a benefit to you, that I could ever speak, has to be by the grace of God. Amen. So, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So don't get puffed up. I spent years and years here, and I saw ones get puffed up. And I did. Knowledge. Wonderful thing. But it's the love that edifies. Amen. All right? You have to have them both. Truth and love. Spirit and truth. And I need to stay with it. Grace does it. That's it. That's why Paul's so beautiful. He's lovely. He's lowly. He's humble because he loves grace. When you love grace, you're humble. When you love grace, you're thankful. When you love grace, you'll believe God. And you'll believe everything. You will. You won't doubt him. You won't doubt him. You'll understand when you're weak. You'll understand when things bother you. But there'll always be an understanding. There'll just be abiding with him. Just be that pressing my head upon his breast. Isn't it wonderful? See, that's the beauty of grace and truth. It's nothing of us. And here it says that God has distributed freely this faith. Freely this faith of the Son to the body. To the body of Christ. It's all there for it, right? And it's there for everyone. And by the grace of God, as we hear the word of God, we merely take a walk in it, don't we? And you take it. And it's all his grace and all his mercy. And I thank the Lord that we know that I would that all men be saved. God's not a respecter of person. And then once you're saved, praise God. And matter of fact, even with all men, he would want them saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. How could I be puffed up at all when that's God's will for every man, and especially God's will for the body and what he's going to really hone in on right now? Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and you think of just even this little portion that we have here, think of this in context for us. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now really see this, and by the grace of God, take this for you and take this for your brother and sister in Christ, that we are one of another, so needful to one another. And understand this, there's no body without one another. There's no body without the members. The Lord in His plan knew that. The Lord in His plan, praise God, realized it and set up this. And this is so beautiful. He's the vine and we're the branches. We know where all the vine comes from is the vine. But the vine cannot bear fruit of itself. It must have the branches to show forth its glory. The fruit's the glory. And He brings it through Him, through you. You think that's a mighty plan? You think He loves you? Let me tell you, He loves you. Now, thank you, Jesus, for the brethren. Amen. Just like Jesus said so sweetly, "Oh, Father, I thank you for them that you have given me." I love that. That really does me good every day. Verse 6, having then gifts. So we get this about one of another, don't we? So now, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Let's just stop there for a moment. Did you earn or merit your gift?
No.
This fellow wanted to send me, and I love him. Came to church here for a while, and I miss him. Came just for not too long. But he got in with the ones, "Oh, we're going to find out your gift." So he told me his gifts. I said, "Shoot, I could have told you that a long time ago." He said, "Well, you want me to send you this worksheet? You just fill it out, and it can tell you your gifts." I laughed. I said, "I'm not filling out any of that. That's nonsense." He was kind of offended. I said, "I love you, and I'm praying for you, and I believe God that, and I know this young man, there's a sincerity in his heart for the truth. The capacity is there. I'm praying that the Lord will move something there." He's getting flattered right now by a few things, and flattery gets you nowhere with God. You know that. It just doesn't. Matter of fact, it'd take you away. But see, God, and by His grace, He gives those gifts for the body. For the body. Isn't that wonderful? Members one of another. And I love this and understand this. Your gift is mine too. If you've got a gift from Him, it's mine. I'm in that body. It might come through you, in a sense, but it's mine because I'm part of it. So understand that so sweetly. We know that every good gift is from above. And think of the above, not just from heaven, from the head. And He distributes it, but it's all for the purpose of the body. Think of that, all right? The value that we are to one another is, it really is. You can't even fathom it, but we can know it. But we really need to get this, and that's why we can rejoice when one member is esteemed. Praise God, it brings esteem to me too. And I was thinking of that. There was a time in my life, boy, I liked to work out. I remember when I was a kid, I finally saw a bicep. Whoa, on me, not just on a picture on a fella. Man, I was going at it, and oh, that was great. Well, let me tell you something. The bicep wasn't the only part of that body that felt good. I felt good all over. I'll take a simple example, but that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Now it's more like food, and I got to watch that. Oh, that was good all over. And there you know. But you praise the Lord for these things, and you thank Him. Now, look at there as we finished up that second half of verse 6. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy What? According to the proportion of faith. Of ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Man, this is just wonderful here. And you think of this. Prophecy by the proportion of faith. How people could even get confused about what prophecy is. Prophecy has to be by faith. What is faith and how does faith come? It comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we know that prophecy is the word of God. Prophecy isn't fortune telling. It just isn't. It sounds good. It's exciting. And I thank the Lord. You know what I really thank the Lord for? I thank the Lord that there were ones that went before me. And I'm talking about Sister Bodie and Brother Copley. And I was thankful to the Lord how they wrote of the things that God revealed to them and showed them. But they also had things that occurred with them when they weren't in harmony. And yet, they didn't try to hide that. They told you that, you know what, that wasn't the way to go. An example of that. Is Sister Bodie even got into a time, and she wrote, even in one of the books that she had been encouraged of the Lord, that the Lord was coming in a certain year and a certain month. You know what? You already know the rest of that story, don't you? He didn't come then. Because I don't care who you are, the Word of God tells us that that hour, no man knows. But see, that's how we can get any of us, in that revelation, that knowledge can puff us up. Amen. The love of God continue to always humble. Amen. That anything that we ever know, that any gift that we ever receive, it's His. The Word of God that causes us to study Kings and go in there and search out the matter. We know by the grace of God that's Him. And it's for the body. And it is. Amen. I know that as I take that for my own life, it's for the body too. Praise God. And know that. Know that. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that precious grace. But how beautiful that we can see this. Ministering and teaching. It says wait. Wait on what? Wait on the grace of God. Wait on the grace of God. The grace will give it to you. Spirit gives you utterance. You don't have to go concocting all these different plans. As I tell my sweet brothers and sisters that come up here to speak, and I know God has allowed me to have years to have the privilege to bring forth the Word of God, but we're family. This is a table. We're sitting here and we're talking about who we are from our Father and our praise God and the beloved Son in whom we give all the praise. But we're one of another. I don't get nervous around my elbow. You know what I'm saying? And see, when that happens by the grace of God, when we enter into that, and I will tell you, I'll assure you, there wasn't anyone more naturally shy in this building than me. Timid. Didn't want to speak publicly. Did not want to go out in front of people. Wanted to blend in with the bricks. And that was the truth. My mom will tell you. Awkward, awkward. I can't help but profess the gospel of Christ. And there isn't anything any time I feel more comfortable by the grace of God and thankful and encouraged. I thank God I've never been nervous giving the word of God. Never. And I've been nervous doing everything else. But speaking, because I know it's the Spirit that gives me utterance. I know it's the mind of Christ that's going to speak to you. I know, praise God, that it is Him. And that's what we rely on. And that's that power I encourage you to go forth in to minister because He's given you that ministry. So that ministering and teaching, we just wait on. He supplies the gift. It's all Him. And it's always that theme. And giving with simplicity, isn't that wonderful? It's grace, it's not of you. I think about people that like to walk around, oh, I gave this and I gave that. Praise God what we've been taught in this place. It's all His, isn't it? People get all tied up about tithing and, oh, to give 10, 8 and a half, 7, 14. No. It's all His. It's all His. So you go figure that out with Him, and then you'll just shake your head and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, isn't that wonderful, showing mercy? One of the greatest graces that God gives us when maybe you've been wronged, giving to someone the exact extreme opposite of what they deserve. That's incredible. Isn't that marvelous? That's why we should be so poised and readied to cover our brother's sin. That's the greatest moment in many respects of God allowing us to show mercy. I'm ready. Not ready to talk about your sin, mine, even though we don't have any. Isn't that kind of how it's covered anyways? Praise God in that blood. Why are we talking about something that doesn't exist? It's the truth. That guy's crazy talking about my sin. It don't exist. That's what you should tell him. But we'll just believe God. And then how wonderful we can be glad and cheerful. Isn't that beautiful as it says that? That mercy makes us cheerful. Because we know that mercy's of Him. And you know that that couldn't be you. Isn't it wonderful to love one another? Because we know we're not worthy to be loved, are we? But I'll tell you what, I sure love you, and I know you love me. I know you love me. Thank you, Jesus. And it ain't our love. It's just not. It is supernatural. And I thank Him for it. Now, as we go on, let's remember how the chapter started. We stand beside the Father, wholly acceptable by grace and mercy. We have His life, the life of His Son in us. Amen? So we know this is Him. And we know that by the grace of God, what we're encouraged is to feed upon the life that we live, which is faith, which is the Word of God. And in that, we begin to really reign, don't we? Isn't that wonderful? I do not want to be a servant. I know that that is not what I'm called to be. By the grace of God, I want to reign as a king now. I want to have that fellowship with my Father now. I want to have that fellowship and thanks to the Son, praise God, that's done it all for me and brought me into this and has given me this life. I believe the Lord when He says that we have been born Lord of all. We're lords of all. Then intent is for us to share everything jointly together with Him. To be glorified together with Him. That's the story over and over. Even in Psalm 116. And Esther and Ruth and Rebecca and Tamar and Rahab and on and on and on and on. It's the same story. Take it all. Come on in. Hallelujah. This is what it is. Now, verse 9. So in that life, here's what can pour forth. Let love be without dissimulation. That means without any hypocrisy. It doesn't measure up. It just loves. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And praise God, I believe that's done. I believe that love without hypocrisy is finished. Hallelujah. That same love to all to win Christ's best. It's really been soaking into me, and I thank the Lord. Who is my brother? Who is my mother? This is the family. This is it. I was praising the Lord with Sister Wanda today. She said, oh, my eyes are going, but natural eyes are going, but my spiritual eyes are seeing more and more and more. I said, oh, he's gracing you, sister. He's taken all that distraction away. And think of this, as I said to her. I said, you know, honey, all the things that my natural eye sees isn't going to be here anyway. So why do I want to spend my time on what my natural eyes see as what my enlightened eyes of understanding can see? Amen. It's going to be gone. And yet we get so wrapped up in what these eyes can see, when all that matters is what these eyes can see. So, how beautiful. Perfect love is Paul's love for the truth. Perfect love is Paul's love for the saints in the truth. That mindset of love causes evil to flee. If I'm thinking in the love of Jesus, I'm not thinking about evil. Amen. It's just what it is. You know that. You come in here and we're hearing the word of God, and for the last, by the grace of God, 35 minutes, you know what? There hadn't been much evil jumping around. Because what we're discussing and what we're encouraging one another in is the perfect love of Christ. Just, this is what it is. Someday, then a body like unto his own. Okay. So, that's what's so beautiful about that. The next verses explain it clearly of this perfect love and this perfect bridal love. This isn't love that's practical. And practical in a life to be a good guy, this is the fight to be found loving his appearing. The fight to be loving his appearing. And what is that? That fight is, by the grace of God, continuing in Paul's gospel. That's why he said, preach no other gospel. That's why Paul got so incensed with those Galatian believers. Who hath bewitched you? What's going to happen, and what's happening in your lives, is you're going back to be conformed to the world in their thinking, in what they're seeing, as opposed to the fullness of Christ. Everything about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is in my gospel. Everything about the one mind, everything about the transformed mind is in one gospel. And that's why Paul was the one and the only one that could speak of it. It's because he was the one that was given that dispensation, that revelation. So, brothers and sisters, if you want to be found loving his appearing, which is the ones that will win that exalted rank of righteousness crown with Paul, it better be this perfect love. Verses 10 through 12. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I think of that, kindly affection. You know what that means? Love as a husband and a wife. That's what it means. Kindly affection, one towards another. Didn't the word of God tell us that we would dwell together? Even in the Old Testament, that word, to dwell together, that means to settle down in marriage. The Lord was again mining that for us. Brotherly love, what is that? That's the Philadelphia love. Who are the Philadelphia saints? They're the ones that remained in first love. They're the ones that were ready for that first trump. Praise God. Preferring one another, that means literally going before to lead. That's what first love is. I pray ones that think that they want to win Christ will awaken to this. It does, and it must be first love for bridal saints. And that's exactly what it says here, what it means when not slothful in business. That's not slothful in the service of it. That means not sluggish in care for one another. Not sluggish and lazy, complacent with the saints. We need to be in first love with one another. That has nothing to do with business, as we would think of business. It has everything to do with love and how we interact and how we prefer one another. And is it bridal love? Are we truly about encouraging one another to win Christ best? And I believe we are. I thank the Lord. Because that's what the word of his grace will do. That's what we stand for. And it's not stand for to belittle one another when new ones come in or ones that are having a hard time. No, it's to encourage, to exhort, to edify. Come on, this is who we are. Put away the childish things. The making of books, there'll be no end to that. There's a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. But there's very little gold, silver, and precious stone. And that's found in one gospel, and that's in Paul's. Amen. So, that's how we can get fervent and passionate in the Spirit. And that's what first love, and that's what first love is. That's what serving the Lord truly is. Yes, it is. Praise God, it is. I've told you about that. You find that even in marriages where you have a couple that's in love. First love will serve one another. I do things for Polly, I'll do for nobody else. And don't even ask me. You know what I'm saying. But it's easy. You know? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. This assembly has been made rich through giving. Yes. First and foremost, giving out the word of God. And the entire word of God. We've been blessed with that. And I thank God. Hospitality, praise God, and love has made this assembly rich. Rich, 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 rich in Christ. That's the only riches there are. Made me sad. And I'll say this. And I'm not ashamed to say these things. A brother who teaches and sometimes even preaches did not even greet me. I was shocked. How could you teach or preach when without love? I'm telling you. We might forget some things from time to time. Jerry, I'm so thankful you're here. And I highly esteem you as unto the Lord. Unto the Lord, Jerry, because you're nothing without him, and neither am I. But I want to take note, by the grace of God, that you've traveled and you're here. I thank the Lord how we have been encouraged in the truth and in the word of God to highly esteem those that preach the gospel and teach the gospel and one another. And I will chasten my brethren about that. Because I've learned, and it's been taught through the word of God and through vessels that have taught me, that when you lack love, it dies. When love goes out, the word goes out. And I've seen it, and I've seen it in this town. I've seen ones bent upon what their own thoughts were and how they were going to do it. You don't divide the house of God. You don't. Never. We're one. You love and you pray. You let the Lord work it. And no matter what you think you're going to work out on your own and in your own strength, it'll die. Oh, you might have a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. You can build a lot of stuff like that. But as I told you the other day, we built that big old pile, and it was huge. All them trees and branches and all that stubble. It's as big as that half a section right over there in just a side. That thing burnt for 5 days. And afterwards, I'm telling you, there was a little piddle of ash that big, and it wasn't even that high. Nothing. It looked big. It looked great. Oh, but we were really going to build a lot of stuff, and this is what we needed to do. Let me tell you something. You move from this word, you're going to miss it. Amen. You're going to miss it. And it's the same. It's the same. And the same desires and the same passion. And it's the same instruction by the Apostle Paul. It doesn't change. Never. Ever. And I thank the Lord that we can stand in that. I'm grateful. I am proud of that gospel. I'm proud of the Lord and what he's done and what he does. And I stand amazed always at what he does and how he moves. It's marvelous. Rejoicing in hope. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost for that, don't you? Romans 15:13 tells you that. When you're negative and critical and cold and joyless as a Christian, you lack hope because you've quenched the Spirit. Don't ever quench the Spirit. Don't ever do it. I was even reading, and I'm not pleased. I thank God what the Lord has given. But I was reading and really getting into some of the definitions and interpretations of the Old Testament and how the Lord, as he joys over us with singing. But in that word rejoices, he's even dancing and leaping. If God is dancing and leaping for me, do you think if I receive that, I could dance and leap for him? Amen. And yet somebody could get offended when somebody reaches up their hands and my sister runs out of here. You don't have to run out of here, but I know you'd just like to be alone with him. It's sad. And those are the coldest, most negative Christians I know. Amen. And you know that by the grace of God, we'd never want to stir up any strange fire in this place. Ever, ever, never. But I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful we have a camp coming. And I pray the Lord will just really inspire you. Be used, son. Be marvelous. Just like that marvelous man right there. Praise God. Sweet Dominic. I love when the Lord gets into you and you're not ashamed of him. And I see it more and more all the time, honey. The fire is in the youth. I think I heard that somewhere before from a little farmer man. He knew a few things because he followed Paul as Paul followed Christ. Why would we want to follow anything else? But full joy ones, they're patient in tribulation. You know that? I'm not going to say they think it's joyous for the moment, but they know. They know that there is a working that's going on that is needful. They know that, praise God, that's the working and the evidence of the bridal truth, the privilege. They even glory in the furnace, and praise be to God, perspective is everything. And that's why it says that you be instant in prayer. That means constant and in everything in prayer. Yes, praise his name. Verse 14 through 16. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, see what Christ's love in you reigning can do? It's amazing. All of these things, when Christ's love reigns in you, this happens. You don't even have to try. Amen. This is the life of Christ. When the life of Christ is unleashed in you, this will just happen. It'll happen, and thanks be to God, I'm amongst testimonies of it tonight. It just happens. We get away from the Word of God, it begins to not happen. We begin to get into our own minds and what we want to be about. Sometimes it even dies out. But this is what Christ's love reigning does. And we know it's not us. We know it's him. And that's the one mind. That's the mind that sees the all-glorious joints of the body, especially the bridal body, that we are one of another, tightly fit, compacted, wonderfully, fearfully made one in Christ. In that, brothers and sisters, how could I ever be high-minded? I mean, I need you. Praise be to God. I'm so thankful I do. And I thank God I need the joints of the body just like I need the head. I do. That love better be without dissimulation. See, people try to isolate that, oh, it's just me and Jesus. I understand in that sense that that's the table for two and that's the wonderful wooing that we get. But when that wooing goes on and it really happens, then it spreads to the rest of the body. The loving His appearing is loving His appearing in the saints. It's loving one another. It's that bridal encouragement. These are the things that are not practical. This is essential. This is those that truly are the ones ruling and reigning with Christ right now. And they're not high-minded. And praise be to God, we don't even need to get discouraged to the point of quitting because we know the value of every bit of the bride of Christ. I know I'm valued to the body. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm of the body of Christ. I need that elbow to move that arm. I need the veins to supply the blood that keeps the tissue, that, and then the cells of that, and all the particulars. They all have to come together. It all has to be there. And God showed us all of this thing. It's one. It's one. Praise His name. In that, brothers and sisters, we realize every bit, it takes every single part that gives glory to Him. And I do. I thank the Lord. I love you and I need you. That's not anything mushy. It's gratitude. I grow more grateful for the family of God all the time. As we run as one to win Christ. Let's finish it up. Recompense, verse 17, to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And notice that there in verse 19. This is the dearly beloved bridal finale. This is the like Him living. This is complete truth and love growing up fully that just flows out. By His love in us, I hear people tell me this. Well, go show the love of Jesus. What a weak saying. That's terrible. I don't like to say, there's things that are starting to grate on me. His love is in me. I don't show it. I give it. I have it. You have it. Give that love. I'm not going to just show something. That's a reflection of whatever. If you're a Sun Glory saint, you have that to give by the grace of God. You give it. And it's in that love that we are empowered by the Spirit to be like Him in mind. And when we're like Him in mind, when His mind controls us, praise God, even our very actions, that's when He reigns, just as He lived here on this earth. It's not trying to be anything. It's not what would Jesus do. It's allowing Him to be in us and reigning. And reigning the willing of His good pleasure in us. I thank the Lord for that. And you know what? That doesn't always happen. Doesn't always happen. There's got to be infirmity. Because you've got to be reminded all the time that it's the power of Christ that rests upon you. That causes you to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, a lot of times of causing you to will and do of His good pleasure, He causes you to stop. Just to say, Jesus, help me. Amen. Let me tell you something, that gives Him real good pleasure. Wonderful pleasure. Now, how much love is in us, brothers and sisters? And I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for this place. And I'm thankful for this place because it's a place of a lot of hurts. It's a place of a lot of wounds. It's a place of a lot of cuts. And I'm talking about even amongst the diamonds. I love you so much. Amongst the diamonds. And yet, we're still here.
Amen.
We're still here.
Amen.
Huh? What proof is that? You know what proof it is? Overcomer proof. You know what overcomers don't do? They don't quit. And quitters are not overcomers. And but for the grace of God, we'd all quit. Amen. 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 I'm glad somebody gets it, you know. But that's one for us. Amen. Now, finally, and I think we can all rejoice in this, I love to watch God deal with my enemies. I do, don't you? So, as I've watched God deal with my enemies, it's taught me to be merciful to them. It really has. And I'm going to tell you why. You need to really pray for them. Because you got to remember, you're the apple of His eye. And it's true. I fear for those that have, and continue to, it sometimes rise up against me. They mock me. Not for me, but for their sake.
Amen.
I've seen the Lord, just as He's done in this precious word. He destroys them. Even to the point of death. I've seen Him take people out of my life. I've testified of that. Take them from this earth. I've seen Him send the bears to rip them to shreds. I've seen Him with a couple people. They wish a bear would have ripped them to shreds. It was even more painful of all the things they had to go through before they met their death. He'll bring down a city for you. Think of what He did for that Rahab. He destroyed it all because He was going to rescue her out. And it's the same today and forever. Now, so in that, overcome evil with good. Keep on living, speaking, and moving truth and love. Devouring words and actions only stoke the enemy's division. And instead, let us be of one mind, His mind, of joy and love and peace. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand.